Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. Here I am, Lord. I come to do your will. We all have a vocation. We all have a calling. That's what vocation means, is a calling, from the Latin vocare, meaning to call. And so that manifests itself differently in our lives, a little bit different here and there. We've got the little calls each and every day, and then the big calls, our vocation in life. The religious life in the first place, the priesthood, the married life, and in some cases, the dedicated single life. And these readings today just scream vocation. And that's why they picked today for Called by Name Sunday. And we have beautiful words here about the call of Samuel, one of the great Old Testament prophets. And here he was hearing the voice of God. We recall here that God just doesn't leave us to our own devices. He doesn't just let us kind of fly by our own things, but he's trying to constantly speak to us, to constantly communicate with us, both in those little whispers like that and through others. God used Eli, the priest, to speak to Samuel, Eli, who was a sinful man, a sinful priest. But Samuel needed someone to help him hear, to help him interpret. And so Eli was that instrument in that case. And so we have to recall how important it is to listen to God, and to listen to others, so that we can find that particular vocation that God is calling us to. From there, the psalm, directly related, "Here I am, Lord, I come to do your will." We wait for the Lord, and he's constantly waiting for us to respond to him. It's important that we remember sacrifice, for God is pleased with our sacrifices. And sometimes our vocation involves that as well, because true love involves sacrifice. And so God offers us great joy, and joy is doing the will of God. There's a fulfillment in finding God's will for us and living it that cannot be found anywhere else. In the gospel today, we hear the great story of the first apostles, Andrew, the first called, the two followers of John the Baptist, who heard the words that we hear every day in Mass, "Behold the Lamb of God," and went to follow Christ. But it didn't stop there. They didn't just follow them on their own and keep Christ to themselves. Rather, Andrew immediately wanted to go tell people, starting with his brother Simon. And that is our goal as well, especially in the sacraments of holy orders and the sacrament of marriage. Those are the sacraments of service, the sacraments in which we reach out to others for the sake of their salvation as well as ours. Five of the sacraments are just for us, but those two, in a very special way, are for others, that we can help lead others to Christ. And so we have to take that step to come and see. He said, "Come and see," to the apostles. And so that is what we are to do as well. And St. Paul reminds us in the letter to the Corinthians just how holy all parts of our lives are, including our bodies. What we do in this life matters. What we do in our bodies matters. For we are temples of the Holy Spirit. And what is a temple for? Sacrifice. Again, true love is sacrifice. But in making those sacrifices is how we find that true joy, that true fulfillment. In my vocational walk, I started on kind of a gradual process. Some guys know since they were little that they wanted to be a priest. For some, it clicks very suddenly. But for me, it was very gradual, because God knew that he had to work on me. I needed time. And so I started thinking about it in high school, I was confirmed in my freshman year of high school, and by the grace of that sacrament, I became more involved with the church. I started being a lector, an extraordinary minister, to be involved with the various groups and ministries of my home parish in Waco. And that was a great fruit of that sacrament. And so it was around that time that I started hearing, "Have you ever thought about being a priest?" And I would laugh at them, because no, I was not thinking about it. But I did start thinking about it. They were my Eli, pointing out how God was speaking to me. And so I continued to kind of think about it. And I went to community college, and I went on a vocation discernment retreat when Bishop Mike Siss of San Angelo was our vocation director. So kind of began my discernment under him and learned more about how it's a process. It's not a one and done thing. But I was enjoying my music studies at the time, and so I wanted to see if that was my path. So I transferred to UT Arlington and did my university studies there. And college was very difficult, but it was a good time of great discovery and finding my identity as a man. And so college was very good in not only in terms of study, but I was very involved with the Catholic Center, our student pastoral council, and I was a roundtable coordinator for the Knights of Columbus and trying to get a council started. We had a kind of a difficulty in our campus ministry because we didn't have a priest. It was a different celebrant every weekend, and we were off campus, not far off campus, but a little off campus. And so that made ministry a little difficult, but that was a good challenge for me to learn. And of course, the normal college things, I had a girlfriend, went through the whole college deal. But after college, I was, first of all, very happy to graduate. I was the first in my immediate family to get a bachelor's degree, so I was very, very, very excited about that. But I promptly moved back home to the Waco area because I didn't like big cities, and then God laughed at me. And so those 2 years that I spent working in the real world were incredibly formative for me. And it was there that discernment got serious. Because after college, there's a lot of uncertainty, right? And so finally, I had to figure out what I was going to do with my life. And so briefly, for a few months, I worked for a vending machine company, which was awful. My heart goes out to anyone who has to work in vending. I hope you like it, but I did not. But it was a job, and so it was good learning experience. But then after that, I got to work in sports radio. I studied professional music audio, and so I knew the programs at least. So I found a job at 1660 KRZI Waco, ESPN, Central Texas. And so that was fun, you know, like a Baylor's flagship station in Waco. And I was mostly behind the scenes, but I enjoyed that job because it was actually very good for discernment. I worked a split shift, and so I would work kind of 6:30 to 8 a.m., and then I would go to the church right when they opened up. And so it was me and Christ in the tabernacle nearly every day. And that was a beautiful discernment for me, to surrender myself into the hands of God and say, "Lord, what do you want me to do?" And so after that, I would kind of go home, do whatever else, and then come back in the evening to the studio to work whatever game I was working that night, usually baseball, because there's like 500 games in a normal season. And so there's a lot of dead time in radio while you're waiting for the next commercial break. So I got back into reading, including a lot of spiritual books. My uncle is a priest, so there are now two Father Nacerstas in the Diocese of Austin. I'm very, very happy for that. And so the priesthood wasn't something mysterious and hidden. There was a familiarity there for me. And so it was nice to have that familiarity. But that reading and that prayer and that handing myself over to God was indispensable for my discernment. And so finally, after those 2 years at home, it became less about what I wanted and more about what God wanted. But those ended up being the same thing. Service of God and His church. And so finally I said, "All right, Lord, if this is what you want, let's go for it." And so I called Father Brian McMaster, the vocation director at the time, and got the ball rolling and filled out the applications and everything and entered seminary. And seminary was very difficult for me. especially after being a music major and working for 2 years. Having to come back to school and study philosophy was quite a switch. But in that struggle was great grace, and I learned a lot, especially my first 2 years at St. Joseph Seminary College in Louisiana, where Christian Stelly, our seminarian, is now. Studying philosophy and pre-theology was very fruitful. And then I got to go to Houston for my theological studies. And theology is way better than philosophy, so I really enjoyed that. But you can see how philosophy is kind of the building blocks. So, you know, there was wisdom there. And throughout the seminary journey, it's more than just taking classes at the seminary. There's lots and lots of special assignments, different pastoral assignments, usually a different one every year, sometimes a different one every semester, and certainly a different one every summer, those kind of things, which isn't much for stability. But I had a great slew of experiences that really helped me to be shaped into the priest that Christ wanted me to be. For example, one such assignment in Houston was teaching RCIA, and the chalice that I use at Sunday Mass was given to me by that RCIA group. And so I'm thankful for these experiences and the great support of the many people along the way. And so I'm thankful for your support, and I ask that you continue to support others in their vocational journey. We need more priests and religious, but we also need more beautiful marriages. All of these are important vocations that must be entered into prayerfully. Seminary was a long process to help me to discern if the priesthood was right for me and how, you know, that was going to look. Pastoral year was a great click for me. I'd spent a year at St. Martin de Porres in Dripping Springs, and that was when I knew, like, yes, this is my calling. So the last 2 years were incredibly joyful in learning that. And then also in the religious life, you've got the postulancy, the novitiate, the temporary vows, the different stages of discernment. In marriage, we have marriage prep. There is great wisdom in marriage prep, because marriage is not the default vocation. It must be entered into prayerfully. When marriage is not entered into prayerfully, that's one way that divorces happen. And that's why discernment is so important in all of our lives. And for those who have found their vocation, the journey's not over, because there still has to be a constant renewal, a constant recreation in us, reconsecrating ourselves to God all the time. That constant conversion to God, turning to Him in the big things and in the little things, is so important for all of us, because it is in handing ourselves over to Him that we find incredible freedom, incredible joy, incredible fulfillment, the fulfillment that can only come from doing God's will. And so be sure to encourage in your lives any who are still thinking about what they're doing or what they need to do. Encourage the little children to stay open to God's call. And we hope and pray that together we can make this world a world of vocation, following the call of God, and to constantly be discerning what His will is for us. And in that way, can we find great joy and fulfillment, especially in this new year, a year that we need that joy and fulfillment. We need men and women to step up and help us on that journey so that we can all be led to the glorious kingdom of God, where He lives and reigns forever and ever.